Someone wrote to me this week, my friends, and said, "Life keeps me in a confused flurry, and I feel out of control and adrift, but you help me to feel connected to Jesus Christ." You know, I'm sure that man has said many times, "I believe, but life doesn't make sense." And that's the theme that we're working on this week. This is Colin Cook and How It Happens. Thank you for joining me. You're listening to a broadcast on Good News. And as we learn how God works in our humanity and all our disappointments, you will find that it does make sense once you see God's point of view. Now, you can only begin to start making sense out of life when you begin to understand what God has been doing through his wrath, through his handing over. So many people, you see, have misread Romans chapter 1. They have thought that God's handing people over to abandon them, to give up on them, to wash his hands of them, to say, "Okay, I've tried, I've had enough, and you're gone." But that is not what Romans chapter 1 is all about. Remember, it says, "The wrath of God is revealed because men are suppressing the truth, and that truth leads them to have such a void and emptiness within their lives that they must then make alternatives of God, alternative kinds of living that suggest to them that they're finding God in ways that are absolutely delusional. They're trying to put qualities on things like drugs and alcohol or food and sex that can only be found in God. Peace and joy and something beyond the humdrum and the mundane. That's what mankind is doing. And so God hands them over to the very things that they want as alternatives to him. They're suppressing him, and so he gives them what they want. Now, why does he give them what they want? I've made it clear already, but I want to make it even clearer by the very verses in Scripture that help us to see there's a very positive plan that God has in handing people over. I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 11, and it's in verse 32. 11, verse 32. "For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all." Now, do you see, handing over is to commit, committing people to this or that thing, handing them over. God has committed them all to disobedience, that is, the suppression of God. Remember, in Romans 1, men suppress God and so go off and try to find alternative gods, not knowing that they're doing that necessarily and most likely. But God has committed them, handed them over to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Did you see that? That he might have mercy on all. Let's get another verse that's very similar to this. By the way, that was Romans 11, verse 32. And now we'll go to Galatians 3, 22. That's Galatians 3, 22. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now listen to that. The scripture has confined, that's the same word, same idea as committed, all under sin, that is the same idea as all to disobedience, in Romans 11, 32, 22, that the promise of by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, I want you to notice that the word confined, notice the word confined there in Galatians 3:22. It really is the word imprisoned, confined, locked them up. In fact, certain translations do translate the word as imprisoned. So when God hands people over in his loving wrath, he locks them up. He imprisons them. Imprisons them to what? Into their own sins. It's not simply that we sin. It's that God hands us over to the powers of sin. Why? Because we have suppressed him. But because God hates us? Is that his motive? No, because I started this presentation with the truth that God's wrath is motivated by love. No, the motive is to reach us finally with mercy. God loves mercy. He loves kindness. He loves goodness. He loves grace. He loves to love. And he is seeking us all our lives through all the labyrinthine ways, the maze, in other words, the mazes of our lives. He is seeking us and leading us to all of these empty goals of ours, so that finally we will see that there is nothing satisfying and meaningful but himself. As it says in Psalm 16, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, this, my friends, is the meaning of life. Life doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't when you see it through the wrong lens. When you look at it upside down. When you think God is here to serve you, simply. When you think that your goals are the ones that make sense and God isn't coming through. When, in fact, our goals are all distorted because they are goals without God. Now you may say, well, they aren't goals without God. I've put God before me all the time. I've prayed, oh God, please help me with this. Please help me with this. Please fulfill this need for me. Please help me to accomplish this. Yes, and God loves you and God cares about you in those ways. But he may have to answer you in a different way to guide you to the ultimate, which is himself. And it may be that many of our goals are distorted. We just didn't know the best way to go about things and to accomplish the real end in life. So, you see, this involves coming before God with all the struggles, all the defeats, all the failures and disappointments. And instead of saying life doesn't make sense, to start saying, ah, dear God, I never understood. I didn't see that, in fact, you have a design through all my sins to have mercy upon me. All the struggles I've gone through to serve you, to become obedient to you, to be a missionary to you, for you, all of these things where I've sought to overcome my addictions, or to develop a good plan to work for the kingdom of God, to have goals for your kingdom, dear God, even all the religious things I have done, now you're showing me that it's all right for them all to collapse. It's all right for things not to work out as long as I finally discover you in the end. And so, one of the important things to do, my friends, is to re-evaluate your life. You say, I believe, but life doesn't make sense. Well, perhaps it's time now to re-evaluate everything that has gone on and to see how each dead end, each wrong path, each disappointment, each defeat and loss is a movement towards God's mercy and God's kindness and God's love. So instead of saying, where was God when this happened? Where was God when that happened? Why doesn't my life make sense? Why has everything I have tried ended up a mess? Start opening your heart to God and saying, Father, I'm identifying these major landmarks in my life, not landmarks of success now, but landmarks of failure, landmarks of disappointment. And I'm looking at those now, Father, and I'm saying, I'm beginning to believe that you have revealed yourself to me in your love and your care through all of these disappointments. And so, Father, I am beginning to do what it says I should do in Ephesians 5:20 and 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, when you take this seriously and you review the history of your life and all the major setbacks that seem to have led you to the belief that life doesn't make sense, and you start thanking and giving praise for all of these negatives, then your paradigm shifts. Your whole idea of what life is all about shifts. Where does it shift to? It shifts to the realization that every one of these negatives has ultimately brought you to a knowledge, to a faith knowledge, to a fellowship knowledge of God. Do you see, if the goal that God has for you is to draw you to Himself, then certainly life is making sense because you have arrived now at where you know Him, where you trust Him. I believe, and through all of these difficulties, life is beginning to make sense. It's awesome, isn't it? And you know, as soon as Paul has said, "For God has committed them all to disobedience that He might have mercy on all," he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out." But now we found them out. And they're not so unsearchable once we know what Christ is doing in our lives. Thank you for the donations coming in, my friends, little bit by little bit. And thank you for the gentleman who has become a partner for this year on a monthly basis. And as you know, we're looking for 9 new partners. Now, you may be getting tired, I'm sure you are, of my appeals each day this week. But I have to do it. I make my apology. In a way, I don't, of course, because if you want this program, then it needs your support in one way or another. And I do thank you for your prayers, by the way, also, because people who pray about this program do so to our Father, who then, in some mysterious way, moves upon others to be able to support it. Anyway, if you would like to support the broadcast by becoming a partner, you simply send your check to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. And I would imagine that a few of you perhaps are planning to do that towards the end of this month. Send your check then to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. If you'd like to make the donation by PayPal, you can simply go to our website, faithquestradio.com, where you can hear this broadcast any time of the day or night, faithquestradio.com, and make your donation there. If you'd like me to take something off your card, then simply call me at 303-738-8694, and you tell me whether you'd like me to take it off your card on a monthly basis or just a one-time thing. I thank you so much for your support, my friends. These donations are tax-deductible. You will receive a receipt for them at the beginning of the new year, and I will send you my Cook's Monthly Message as a thank you, unless you request no literature, please. All right, thanks, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.